Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Today's scripture is from Luke 21, 5 to 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars of insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and various famines and plagues, and there will be a dreadful potent and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your mind not to prepare for your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that is none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. But you will be hated because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." God bless our reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The ground upon which we live is shifting. If you read the news, you'll see that the polar ice caps are melting. We all live in fear of when and where the next mass school shooting will be. Depending on what polls you look at, we may have a gay president in 2020. 2020 may also bring with it an economic recession. It's tempting to look at the news and think that the end is near. Into this fear of the unknown comes this morning's scripture passage. In it, Jesus warns his disciples not to be led astray by the temptation to equate current events with the end of time. Before the earthquakes and before the plagues come, he tells his disciples, you are going to be persecuted, imprisoned, and handed over to the authorities. As if this wasn't bad enough, next he tells them, you are going to be betrayed by family, and some of you will even be put to death. But, this is an important but, Jesus tells his disciples, not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. What Jesus is saying here is to stand firm or to persevere in the face of suffering. Now, I'm sure Jesus means this to be comforting news, but I wonder if his disciples then, as we do now, tend to equate suffering with either a lack of faith or some kind of failure on our part. I imagine some of us think that if we were better Christians, then this really terrible thing wouldn't be happening to us. No, Jesus says, All Christians will suffer. The great ones will learn to persevere. This week, I had the opportunity to see a movie about a great Christian who persevered in the midst of terrible suffering. Anyone want to guess what movie I saw this week? So I went and, Sean, what's your guess?
God friended me.
Close. So I went and saw Harriet, the movie. And this movie is based on the life and times of Harriet Tubman, who was born a slave, the property of the Brodress family, and I believe they lived in Northern Maryland in 1820. As a slave, she suffered terrible and inhumane treatment at the hands of her owners. As a child, she suffered a traumatic brain injury when her owner accidentally hit her in the head with a lead pipe. This injury caused her to have visions and to dream vivid dreams. And as an adult, she would attribute these visions and these vivid dreams to be revelations from God. She had a revelation in 1849, shortly after her master died. His son wanted to sell her upriver to pay off his father's gambling debts. But Harriet believed that God was leading her to run away and to escape to Philadelphia. No one had ever successfully done this before, and the risk was great. I believe she was traveling something like 500 miles on foot. But she made it to Philadelphia. And once she made it to Philadelphia, she realized and she thought that God was calling her to help others escape from slavery. This is when she became a conductor on the Underground Railroad, the secret passage that slaves traveled from the south to the north. In her lifetime, Harriet brought approximately 70 slaves to freedom. Every time she made the journey to rescue more slaves, she not only risked her freedom, but she risked her very life. But she never lost a single passenger. As I watched the movie, I was astonished by how many times Harriet should have or almost did die, but didn't, bringing slaves to freedom. Clearly, God protected her. There's just no other explanation for why she wasn't captured, why she didn't freeze to death, or why one of the slaves she brought to freedom didn't turn her in, because in her later years, there was quite a sizable financial reward offered for somebody leading to her arrest and capture. I learned in the movie that she earned the nickname Moses because she believed she was sent by God to bring her people out of Egypt, which at that time was the southern United States, and into the Promised Land, which at that time was Canada. But still, in my mind, the most remarkable part about Harriet's story is that she died an old woman. She actually died from the super boring disease of pneumonia at 91 years old, surrounded by family and friends. Despite all that she had suffered, God kept his promise to her that not a hair on her head would perish. Friends, I share this story because I believe that every generation at some point in its history has thought that its time was the end of time. For Harriet, slavery was a clear sign that the end was coming. For us, we may look at things like climate change or terrorism or a recession and think that the world as we know it is over. When we don't know what's happening around us, it's really tempting to do one of two things. The first is to give up, to say that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and there's nothing we or anyone else can do. The other temptation is to take the eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow isn't promised approach. To live like we're dying, even though we're not. No, friends. Jesus tells us not to give up or to go all out, but he encourages us to use our suffering as testimony. Now, I think for a lot of us, we tend to think of testimony as sharing good news with others. And these type of testimonies follow a similar arc. I was down on my luck. Jesus rescued me from the pit of despair. And now I share the good news of Jesus with others. Don't get me wrong, these stories are an important part of our faith stories. But in our scripture passage for this morning, Jesus is inviting us to bear witness to perhaps a different kind of story. To a story where we had the audacity to muster courage in the face of fear. Where we had the boldness to name unimaginable loss and pain, yet still point to the hope we have in Jesus. This week, I think our text is challenging us to imagine how we have been challenged to tell of our hope. To do that, here are some questions that may get you started. So when you look back on your life, what is the hardest thing you've been through? It can be the death of a spouse or a parent. It can be having to file for bankruptcy. It could be having to change careers midlife. Whatever it is, I want you to think about what that experience was like for you. How did that experience change your relationship with God? Did it draw you closer to God because you were forced to rely on God and not yourself? Or did it perhaps initiate a period of doubt and longing and searching as you wrestled with the question of how God could let such a thing happen to you? As you're reflecting on this experience, think about what hope you clung to make it through those really hard days. Those days when it was a challenge to get out of bed, or make dinner, or talk to anyone. Finally, think about how Jesus met you and perhaps surprised you in the midst of it. Friends, I think this is an important exercise for two reasons. The first is because Jesus says we will all be persecuted, betrayed, and some of us may be put to death. Say this not to scare you, but to perhaps normalize an experience that we all go through. The second reason I think it's helpful to reflect on this is I bet that most of us, when we look at our lives, can identify something that happened that was kind of the turning point in our faith. And usually this turning point is a result of something really awful that happened that we learned how to live through. Friends, discipleship doesn't mean that we are going to live a life without pain or without suffering. But it does mean that we will never live a life without hope. As we watch the signs of the times and the signs of our lives, we can look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who promised that we would never be alone, who promised he will be with us and that he will protect us, both today and unto ages of ages. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.